Good morning, everyone. We finished a small series in Galatians on grace versus law, and I was praying and asking the Lord what message to bring next, and this was the text that came into my mind. I had a guy ask me once how I chose messages, and I said, that's usually the way. I'll say, well, Lord, what do you want me to bring? And so this morning I want to talk about the message of the cross. It's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. I know that may seem a little long, but I have trouble sometimes finding a getting off point. I don't want to pull things out of context. Father, I thank you for your word because I know it's the truth. I thank you for those who come out this morning. Father, as we look at the message of the cross this morning, my prayer is that you will open our eyes and our ears to hear and to see. If any here have that veil over their hearts placed by the God of this world, if any that hear this on the internet have that, my prayer is, Lord, that that heart will turn to Christ and that veil will be lifted and they'll be able to see the plain truth. I just ask your blessing on those who are here in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Paul says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Crucifixion was one of the most horrific forms of capital punishment ever devised by man. It was originally used by the Assyrians, but it was perfected by the Romans. The accused was nailed by their hands and feet to an upright beam. Their legs were slightly flexed. In order to breathe, they were forced to push up on the nail that was through their feet. Once they were too exhausted to push themselves up, death would usually occur through suffocation. This is the kind of death that Jesus Christ died for us. And to this day, there are many who are offended by the word of the cross. Paul said, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The problem a lot of people in Jesus' day had with it was on the cross, you were totally out of control. You had no control what was going on. You hung there helpless and naked. And as I said, you had to push yourself up on the nails in your feet in order to breathe. And once you became too exhausted, you suffocated because you couldn't get up and take in air or let air out. That's why they broke the thieves' legs on when the Lord was crucified, because it was a special Sabbath, and the Jews said, we don't want their bodies on the cross during the Sabbath. Generally, the bodies were not taken down. They hung there till they decomposed and fell. It was, you know, we call it a deterrent. It was a deterrent because anybody that come by and saw that, it was a reminder of this is what's going to happen if you cross Rome. It was reserved for slaves and non-Roman citizens. And this is the death that Jesus Christ died for our salvation. Through the centuries, the preaching of the cross has brought persecution. Jesus was mocked while he was on the cross. As I said, Jesus did miracles. He preached. He rebuked the religious leaders of his day. He called them hypocrites, snakes, whitewashed walls. And when he was hanging on that cross, they felt like now we're in control. And it said they mocked him. They said, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." These are things Jesus told them. Of course, he meant the temple of his body. They said, "What sign are you going to show?" He said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up." And they said, "Well, it took 46 years. How are you going to do that?" They didn't understand he was talking about his body. And he told them he was the Son of God. So here they are mocking him. They said, "Well, if you're a Son of God, come down. That isn't hard for you." I've often said this, and I believe this. It wasn't the nails that held him to that cross. It was love. It was his love for the Father. It was his love for us because the Father assigned this to him. The Bible said it was God's will to crush him, and he was crushed. He bore the weight of sin. Paul said, "He who knew no sin became sin so that you and I might become the righteousness of God." So it was a folly to the Jewish leaders. It was a folly to the Romans, and they mocked him while he hung there. "Well, if you are who you say are, just come down. That wouldn't be hard." I've often thought if he would have come down, the Jews would have said, "Hey, you didn't do a good job nailing him up, or do it again." Somehow he got down. They were determined to kill him. It said he saved others, but he can't save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. And I don't think they would have. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years that have said to me, "If God would do this in my life, then I'd believe." And I tell them, "No, you wouldn't. You're not going to. If you have to ask God for special favors in order for you to believe the gospel, it wouldn't matter if God did it. You would pick something else. Well, do this or do that." So Jesus was mocked. And those who preach the gospel to this day, those Christians who share the gospel, you're going to face mocking. Don't let that deter you. Don't let it stop you. You're going to be mocked, not by everyone. But they mocked our Lord as he hung on the cross. How much more are they going to mock us if we tell the story? They said, "He trusts in God, let God deliver him." He said he's God's son. He said him and God are one and the same. He said God is his Father. Well, if he really is, let God take him down. Isaiah said, "We esteemed him stricken and smitten by God." He said that in his prophecy. The Jews thought, "This, you deserve what you're getting. God's doing this to you because of the claims you made." The robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, Luke's gospel says later one of them repented. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus allowed himself to be crucified. I had a guy ask me one time, "Well, if Jesus is God, how did they nail God to a cross?" Because God allowed it. You can't touch him in that way. He had to allow it. Paul said to the Philippian church, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Jesus chose to go. If you read the scriptures much, you will see times that they took up stones to stone him. They surrounded him, and he walked away. They couldn't touch him. But when they came after him in the garden, he said, "This is your hour." He allowed it. He chose to go to the cross. The Bible says he despised the shame of the cross. The cross was shameful, considered a shameful way to die. It was scandalous. You died on that cross, man, you must have deserved that. You must be the worst of the worst. And it said, Paul says, we're to look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, I said that to say this. We're talking about the message of the cross. We're going to get into that. Jesus commands those who wish to follow him to take up their cross. Jesus very plainly said, we have a cross. All of us have a cross. Now, what does that mean? I'm sure you know this, but I'm going to elaborate on it just for a minute. When Jesus says, take up your cross, he's saying, you have to lay down your dreams, your wishes, your plans, and you die to you. You die to the world, just like the cross was a death sentence. Jesus Christ came here to die. That was his assignment. God said, you are going to have to die for these people. And he said, I'll do it. But he said to every one of us, if you're not willing to take up your cross, you can't be my disciple. And that's hard. And I never read where he said, well, it's easy. Just pick up your cross. The cross was an instrument of death. And in this day, when he said that to these people, it must have really sounded strange to them. Lord, we don't want to carry a cross. That's shameful. It's painful. It's a suffering death. And Jesus said, but if you don't, you can't be my disciple. You can call yourself my disciple. A lot of people do that. Run around claiming Jesus is my Lord and Savior, but Jesus is not Lord. He doesn't call the shots. I once heard it said, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Yeah. And what the cross of Christ means, Jesus said, you have to be willing to lay everything down in order to follow me. And if you're not willing to, if you're not willing to put that to death and let me be your Lord, then I'm not your Lord. You're just giving me lip service. I know that must sound strange to those men. Peter was crucified. I think he was the only one of the 11 that I remembered. He was crucified. They crucified him upside down. But every one of his men, except John, was martyred. You remember, I think it was James and John's mom came to Jesus and said, I want my sons to sit one on the right, one on the left. And Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They said, we can. He said, yeah, and you will. And they were both martyred. That's what Jesus was saying. Yeah, you're going to drink my cup. You're going to die a martyr's death. Now, when he says we have to carry our cross, he's not saying that every one of us will be martyred, but he's saying, all your ambitions, all your dreams, that has to be put out of the way. If you're going to follow me, you're going to be obedient to me, you're going to do what I ask you to do. And most of the time, what the Lord asks you to do is not what you want to do. It's not your plans. It's his. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. That's what the crucifixion of self means. We have to die to ourselves, deny ourselves. Paul said to the Galatians, we just come out of this, that those who want to make a good showing in the flesh were trying to get them to be circumcised in order that they might not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. They won't take the easy way out. He said, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. After I came to Christ, I wondered how people could not come to Christ. I thought, how can they not believe the gospel? I've had people say, there is no resurrection of the dead. I don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. When you're dead, you're dead. So I don't believe the gospel. Others say, how can a God be nailed to a tree? I don't believe that. How can somebody being nailed to a tree bring us salvation? I don't believe that. That's where the cults come from, especially the Christian cults. We said that when we was talking about the law versus the cross. What they're saying is, Jesus isn't enough. That makes no sense to me. You can't get saved just believing in somebody's sacrifice. You have to earn that. I got to prove that I'm worthy to go to heaven. And what they're doing is saying, God, you're a liar. I don't believe in your cross. I don't believe in salvation through Jesus Christ. I have to earn that. I have to keep these certain rules. I have to join this certain group. Oh, that offends me. Jehovah's Witness were talking to me one day, and I said, I won't interrupt you if you'll let me talk to you and not interrupt me. And they said, well, that's fine. And they talked for 30 minutes. When I got done, I said, are you done? They said, yeah. And we really appreciate, you know, that you let us talk. I said, you offend me. I said, I asked you what I had to do to be saved, and you said everything but believe in Jesus Christ. You said I had to be baptized into your organization. And I said, the Bible doesn't teach that. Well, we believe in Jesus. I said, you don't believe he's the way to be saved. I do. I said, you guys are false prophets. And I said, who is Jesus? Well, we believe it was Michael the archangel. The Bible doesn't say that. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. God himself became a man and went to the cross for us. So I said, then they tried to sell me some books. Well, you want to buy some of our books? Why? I guess you got a quota to fill. No, I don't want to spend money on that. Man. And people say, well, that's harsh. You know, you ought to be more polite. No, I'm not going to be polite. I don't think I have to. Now, I shared the gospel with them. And one person said, could I come back later and talk to you? I said, yeah. They never came back. I guess they got in their van and they said, don't you dare go back over there. See, that's that when people do this, that what they are saying, if you pay attention, they're saying Jesus is not enough. You got to join our organization. You got to be baptized by immersion, which the Bible teaches, but into our organization. You have to follow our rules. And it's usually works. When you speak, it's a works thing. They sell books. They got to sell so many books a month to meet their quota. Paul said the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. You know what happens to these people? The Bible very plainly says the God of this world has blinded them unless they believe the gospel and repent. That's a way to pray for people, church. People in your family, people you know. The Bible very plainly says they've been blinded by the God of this world. Who's the God of this world? Satan. He has placed a veil over their hearts so they won't believe. So pray and ask God to lift that veil. It was through the cross of Jesus Christ that God took away the law that stood against us and condemned us because of our sins. It is through the cross that we have hope. Paul wrote, therefore remember at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. So the message of the cross caused you and I, who were alienated and enemies of God, to be brought near. We've been reconciled. And it's only through the cross. You can't earn that. You can't keep enough rules. You can't live a good enough life. It's only through the cross of Jesus Christ, through faith in what he did. Remember we said when we was talking about the law, God gave these promises to Abraham before the law was ever given, before Abraham was ever circumcised, 430 years before God gave Moses the law. God made a covenant with Abraham, a covenant of promise. And that's the covenant you and I live under because of faith. So because of the cross, we were God's enemies. But when we came to him by faith through the cross, now we're not his enemies. We've been brought to him. Now we have hope. We didn't have it before. I didn't. I was hopelessly lost until I came to Jesus Christ. It's because of the cross that we've been reconciled and we have peace with God. I think a lot of people that's trying to do these works, that's what one thing they're trying to do is bring themselves to a place where they and God are at peace. If I do enough of the right things, you know, God will lax up on me and me and God will get along better. I'll have peace. I'll prove to God that I am a good person and I'm trying to do what he wants me to do, what I think he wants me to do, and we're going to have peace. But the Bible says no. The only way you can have peace with God is through faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You have to accept that. Paul said he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. There it is again. There's no peace with God apart from Jesus Christ. Allah is not God. The Muslims are going to hate me saying that. But it might be the Arabic name for God, I don't know. But Muhammad cannot bring you peace. Following the Quran will not give you peace. It will not reconcile you to God. In fact, it makes you God's enemy. Because you're trying to get to him through another means except through Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ. It said Jesus made peace and he reconciled us to God in one body through the cross and he killed the hostility. What was the hostility? The law. All the law did was condemn us. The law pointed out what sin was. We knew what sin was because God gave us the law, but it didn't save you. It condemned you. Sin was imputed once there was a law. And it says, through him, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. He was talking about Jews and Gentiles. That was the division going on. Well, Jewish Christians said, we got an edge on you, and you need to come up where we are, or you can't be saved. And Paul said, no. It was through Jesus Christ. That makes peace with God. Because of the cross, we can be righteous and holy in God's sight. We are righteous and holy in God's sight. He said, in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. There it is again. We have peace because of the blood of the cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in the body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. You can't do that. I can't do it. I can't keep enough rules for God to consider me holy. I can't dress in a way that God's going to call me holy. I believe in modest dress. Don't get me wrong. But sometimes I see people that are convinced if they're going to be holy, they have to dress a certain way. The Pharisees believe the same thing, and Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. He said, you look good on the outside, but your heart's just black as a millstone. Now, that's my paraphrasation of the Greek. But Jesus said, you're wicked. God's not impressed with our outward appearance. And I see it all the time, and people dress certain ways. And like I said, I'm not against modest dress. I believe in modest dress for men and women. But I remember a guy I went to school with. He wore long sleeve shirts. He wouldn't roll his shirt sleeves up. Why? Because that's sinful. That sinful flesh, you don't want to expose the sinful flesh. You got to cover the sinful flesh. God never created anything sinful. Your body is not sinful. We became sinners. But to accuse God of making a sinful body, that's blasphemy. And we used to tease him. I feel bad now. We used to say, hey, man, your epidermis is showing. Boy, he'd go buttoning his shirt up. We thought it was funny. We thought it was funny what he was telling us. Holiness is not in the way you dress. It's not in the music you listen to. It's not where you go to church. It's not if you refuse to eat ham and do all stuff that people consider holy. Holiness is here. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. You remember what Paul said? He is our redemption. Redemption. He has bought us back from sin. He's our sanctification. What's that mean? We've been set aside for a holy purpose. And it's through Jesus Christ. This is the message of the cross. And I don't understand why it is so offensive to some people, but I see it. I hear it. I've talked to people. And one thing I come away with is they don't like the idea that I have to die to self. Mm-mm. I'm going to do what I want to do. And God will accept me because I'm basically a good person. You're deceived if you believe that. You're deceived if you believe that you have to dress a certain way to be considered holy. Now, I'm not talking about immodesty, but I'm talking about you got to dress a certain way. Got to wear the head coverings and all that. That doesn't make you holy. Jesus Christ made us holy through what he did on the cross. Paul said we're holy and above reproach. That's all through Jesus Christ. It's all through the cross. That's why I have trouble understanding why people don't want to come to Christ. Everything they're trying to achieve in the flesh, they will not achieve what they're aiming at, and only through Jesus Christ will they achieve it. Now, am I saying that he doesn't do a change in our lives? No, I'm not saying that at all. He does the change. When I was a young man and got saved, I was muscular built. My wife told me I was built like Clint Eastwood. 20 years later, I'm built like Clint Eastwood, Jackie Gleason, and a couple other people. I don't have that. But I would take my shirt off when I worked construction when it's hot. And after I got saved, I'm not making this up, I pulled my shirt off one day, and the Spirit of the Lord said, do you really think you need to do that? And I, what? You need to put your shirt back on. Yeah, that was the Spirit of God, because it wasn't me. The Spirit of God said, that's immodest. I was proud of my physique. That's how God talks to you. I put my shirt back on. I never took it off again after that in public. Why? Because I had an ego. I realized that's what the Lord is saying. You got an ego problem, man. Yeah. I wasn't an Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I was a fine-built young man. And I was kind of proud of that. Wanted to show it off once in a while. The Spirit of God, no. Tell you something else he dealt with me about very quickly. I used to play poker every Friday night with some friends of mine. We'd drink beer and play poker. No big stakes. You know, $10, $15. And after I came to Christ, I was reading about where they gambled for his clothes on the cross. And I'm going to tell you something. That smote me, to put it in the King James. It hit me hard. And I went to the guy's house, and they knew I was professing to be saved, and I told him, I said, I can't play poker anymore. Well, why not? I said, they gambled for my Lord's clothes, and I can't ever justify me gambling again. And he said, man, you've changed. I said, yeah, I didn't change. He changed me. Now, I could have said no to the Holy Ghost, and I don't see anything wrong with poker. Why, you know, why should I quit playing poker? And that grieves the Spirit. Did I have a burning bush experience? Did I see a bright flashlight and hear a voice out of the wall? No, it was in here. But I knew who it was. He said, you don't need to gamble. That is how we are made holy. Yeah. Listen to the Spirit. Follow the leading of the Spirit. That's what we talked about last week. Paul said, walk with the Spirit. Listen to him. When he tells you something, don't worry if he's talking to your neighbor over here. We tend to do that. Well, Lord, if I got to quit smoking, how come he ain't going to quit smoking? That ain't right. If I got to quit smoking, he's got to quit. The Lord said, oh, I'm not talking to him. I'm talking to you. Well, you don't want me drinking. How come Bill gets to drink a beer? That's Bill. I'm talking to you. He might not be in Bill yet. See what I'm saying? Well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, it doesn't matter if you do or not. I do. That's the way God is. I see something wrong with it. You got a problem with this. Let it go. Nail it to the cross. Even my ego? Oh, good night. What am I going to have left? I had a lady at Sunday school one time told me, she said, I think one of the problems we have is we have too low of a self-esteem. I said, I disagree with you. We got too much of a self-esteem. We need a Christ esteem. I need to see me as Christ sees me. I need to see me as God sees me, as it's revealed to me. That's the esteem I need to have. I believe that. I've been a Christian 42 years, and I'm learning something all the time. And every time I think, man, I've arrived, wham. No, I ain't. It seems like every time I think I've arrived, I end up going to the spiritual woodshed. The Lord says, no, you got a bad attitude. You need to go apologize. I hate apologizing. Oh, I hate apologizing. I'm like Fonzie on Happy Day. I was wrong. You know, that's how I hate doing that. But, you know, if you're going to have peace, you got to. You want peace with the Lord, then you obey the Holy Spirit. You don't obey the Holy Spirit, you're not going to have peace. He will ride you. He will bring it in front of you. You'll start thinking everything's okay, and he'll go, well, no, you know, we talked about this, and you haven't done anything yet. What are you going to do? Paul said we were dead in our sins, in the uncircumcision of our flesh, and God made us alive. And he's forgiven us of our sins. This is the cross. This is the message of the cross. Before you came to Christ, you were dead. You just didn't have the good grace to lay down. You were dead. I was dead in the spirit, spiritually dead. The second death. I've had people say, well, you know, I don't believe in the fires of hell and the torment because you're going to die. And, well, wait a minute. The Bible's in the second death. It's not talking about annihilation. It's talking about spiritually dead. It's the final spiritual death between you and God. I look at it this way. God's going to say, since you preferred darkness in life, I'm going to give you darkness and death. You'll have a whole eternity without me because that's what you wanted. You didn't want me in your life. You didn't want my spirit. You didn't want my forgiveness. You thought you was going to get it your way, and now you're going to get exactly what you wanted your way. And it'll be an eternity in darkness and torment and regret if you're not being led by the Spirit. If you don't receive the message of the cross of Jesus Christ, everything God offers with that forgiveness, life, reconciliation, if you try to establish that on your own, you will be sorely disappointed. When you stand before him. Would you stand with me this morning? What a God we serve. He's holy and we're not. But he loves us so much. He said, I'm going to make it where you can come to me and be my child again. Have you called on him? Have you ever prayed and asked God to forgive you? Have you repented? And been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins as the Word commands us to do. He promises us he'll give us the Holy Spirit. But it's God's way, not ours.